The other day, I did what nearly everyone can do when they're trying to shake off a minor headache, and that was go to the cupboard, reach for the tablets, get a glass of water, swallow them, and then just lie down for a few moments and try to shake it off. And more often than not, it does the job. But as we know, for some people, pain is not only far more intense than that, but worse still, many people feel it without any source of relief and comfort from day to day. Today on Milk and Meat, I want to direct our thoughts to a very difficult subject of pain and living as a Christian in the midst of pain. I guess one of the first experiences a pastor will have when visiting homes and getting to know a congregation is to realize how people are suffering with all manner of pain in some form. From a pastoral and from a Christian perspective, how do we respond? Maybe you know someone as a Christian and they're suffering a great deal, and you think to yourself, you know, I'm helpless here. What do I say? What do I do? Personally, I cherish the words of Revelation 21 verse 4, and what believer wouldn't? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And just note those words, neither shall there be any more pain. Such words are incredibly difficult to get our minds around, especially for those of you who battle with pain from day to day. We should also remember that pain exists on a number of levels. We commonly think of physical pain, but then there is also the problem of mental and emotional anguish when faced with what seems an Everest of difficulties. What is the right and biblical perspective to all of this? Is there any relief for us now, or do we as Christians just have to wait until pain is no more? One of the first avenues of help is really a theological avenue of relief, and that is trying to get our head around the why before we even try to deal with the when. This is one of the examples of where a Christian worldview is far superior to any humanistic and God-rejecting one. You see, biblical Christians can trace all pain and suffering back to the fall of mankind in Adam. As we know in the words of the Apostle Paul, in Adam all died, 1 Corinthians 15:22, and under that banner includes pain. Pain was known and most intense with Eve in childbearing. Abel experienced pain and, of course, death when murdered. Adam, the pain of his own transgression, and then the pain of losing a son and seeing another son commit such a crime and a wicked action. And then there was pain for Cain as well in being banished. Pain on all levels, and even the creation itself began to creak under the burden of the curse. So was there pain before this, beforehand? Personally, I can't see how there could have been. How was this so? Would not have Adam tripped on occasions and hurt his knee or something along those lines? May seem like a bit of almost a trivial thing to ask. Can you even give answers to these questions? Well, one insight is to remember that when you look at the Bible and you look at the history of Israel, when you think of their wanderings and their journey in those 40 years, on occasions we're told of a miraculous upholding of their physical needs. Their feet didn't swell, their clothes did not wear out. In other words, God in every respect upheld and sustained them, even to these small details. In the fall, while God still and always shall uphold all things by the word of his power, yet we see, we might say to some extent, his hand allowing pain to now take place because of the entry of sin into this world. And it reminds us that we are fallen creatures. Now, I want to make this very clear. I'm not saying that someone's individual suffering or someone's individual pain is directly linked to an individual sin. That was the problem with Job and the very unhelpful advice or instruction his friends gave. They were off the mark in that sense, because it wasn't because of some individual sin that Job suffered and knew such an extent of suffering. But it was a reminder that he lived in a fallen world. and he was subject to this limited body in which he lived. And that's a reminder to each of us. I don't know how much relief that gives you, but it gives you a theological, it gives you a biblical, it gives you a doctrinal perspective on all of these things. We remind ourselves that we live in a world such as this, and as a result, it prompts us to remember how much we need a Redeemer and a Saviour. Another thing, child of God, remember this, you are not alone. Often you may feel like this when you are in the midst of crippling pain. But God in the Bible has furnished numerous examples and people who suffered terribly. And as I pointed out with Job, not because of some personal sin. And again, if you go to Job, because really he is the classic example in all of this. He struggled the most when his body was under affliction. His most miserable picture is seen in the aftermath of this, with those sores and those boils, and it seems everything was at a loss. But God has put that book there, and that life there, to teach us many things, and one of them is the means by which, even in the midst of pain, we can be drawn closer to God. That's very difficult to get your head around, but that's what we see in Scripture. And then you go to the New Testament. What does the Apostle Paul hear from the heart of God? That God's grace was sufficient for him in his time of great need. And then, dear believer, our Lord Jesus Christ enters into your pain and suffering in a way that no other person possibly can. He is that sympathizing friend. And while many people will do a tremendous and wonderful job of alleviating your pain through medicine or trying to, in some respects, just ease your discomfort. Or there'll be those that will be good friends and they will listen to you and they'll support you on a number of practical levels. And we thank God for these individuals. No one can do what God does in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is to uphold you when you are at your lowest. Aren't you glad that the throne of grace and the place of prayer is not just simply discoverable or made known to those who are the fittest and the healthiest and the strongest and the fastest? The race in that sense is not to the swift. But you can say wherever you are, even if when you cannot form words or you don't know what to say, there is a place of mercy for me. I don't need to be able to physically go across some great journey, climb a mountain, descend into a valley, explore the world to find God at the place of prayer. He's right there where I am, in my bed, in my chair, not able to move physically. And then you think, well, that might be the case, but sometimes I don't know what to say. The pain is so much I can't form the words. Well, there's even provision for this. In Romans 8, we're told, and I believe that you can apply this verse to some extent in this way. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. By the way, that's not a verse for the lazy, either, where some think to themselves, you know what, I don't want to pray, and I'm sure the Lord knows my heart. No, it means this, that in the midst of your infirmities, when you desire to pray, but you say, Lord, the words are hard to find, such as the burden, such as the aching desire of my heart, and the Spirit of God intercedes in that time. Possibly the best of all pain reliefs, dear child of God, is the hope that you possess in Christ, that redemption in the blessed Lord Jesus. And while it does not immediately remove the presence of pain now, it gives you assurance of a better day, of another day when all pain will be removed. And so you come then full circle to Revelation 21. There will be no more pain, all suffering gone, where both spirit is willing and the flesh is perfected. Every painful pang is part of your countdown to glory. Every struggle is gone. You're one day nearer to Christ and an eternity where there is no more pain.